That's nobody. Okay, God, give it all to me, God. All the blessing for all of them, I will take it. Now, I've actually got a little excited about coming to speak to you guys today. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. And, you know, Pastor Lance kind of started it off, but he said, our journey begins here at Bethel Community Church at Starting Point. It's a great place. If you're new to Bethel, you want to know more about Bethel, find out more what it means to be a Christian, that's the place for you. But we have another saying that our journey continues in community. And our third little saying is that our journey ends by leaving a legacy. And we've started a series last week called Legacy. And we're going to be talking about this for the next few weeks, but the ripple effects of these series of messages are going to go through the entire year. You know, I started thinking about the fact that we really build a legacy in the context of community. You're going to have an opportunity before you leave today to sign up for community groups. And it's going to be a good year, amen, somebody say, in 2016. You know, Pastor Lance, it's an election year, but it's also the year of the Summer Olympics. You guys like the Summer Olympics? Come on. Thank you, redshirt guy. Come on. He's my man. He's my friend now. But the Summer Olympics, my favorite event are the track and field events. And you probably heard me drop the baton before I came up. I got this from Austin Peay State University. A friend of mine got it for me. And basically, one of the coolest events, I think, in the Summer Olympics is the relay races. If you've ever seen, like, the 4x100 relay, what is this? Like, the fastest men and women on the planet. They get down, and they hold the baton in their hand. And this is kind of like a legacy. They run their own individual leg of the race as hard as they can. But then they don't finish the race. What do? They have to pass the baton on to the next person. And then they pass it on to the next person until the race is finally won. And that's really what a legacy is. You're really receiving from someone behind you. And you're running the race in your life the best you can. But it doesn't end with just us. We pass the baton on to another generation, don't we? Whether it's our family, and we're going to be talking about in context of church today. See, what if the church didn't pass the baton on? You know, there was a guy who had I heard him on YouTube, and he was talking about how he had a dream that there was this athlete that had died and went to a funeral, and he looked in the casket, and the athlete's body was holding the baton. He said, the church is exactly the same way. We refuse to pass the baton to the next generation. And you see that happening when so many young people are turning away from the faith of their parents and the faith of their family because we refuse to pass on the baton. But that's not going to be Bethel, is it? Come on, let's say it again. That's not going to be Bethel, is it? We're going to pass the baton on to the next generation. You know, and some of you guys may not have received a winning lotto ticket. How many guys, don't raise your hand if you play the lottery. Right, it's going up to $1.3 billion. You may not have won the lottery, but you're going to receive something from God today, I believe. You're going to receive an impartation of faith, I believe, that's going to affect a legacy in your life if you want to receive it today. Let's turn our Bibles over to Genesis chapter 17. As we're talking about the concept of legacy, we're going to look at probably one of the greatest examples in the Bible in the Old Testament in Genesis 17. We're going to look at a story of a family. I love the Bible because it breaks it down into something that we can understand. It's going to talk about the life of three generations of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, God did something extremely special through a guy named Abram. He came and he spoke to a man and he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. It didn't look like anything else anyone had ever seen before. See, after the fall of Adam, there was this great separation. They were kicked out of the garden and it was just doom and chaos pretty much for people. And what happened after that is God saw this guy, Abram. He said, I'm going to choose that man to do something great for every nation and every generation that follows after him. And it says in Genesis chapter 17, we're going to look a little bit at this. It says, as for me, behold, my covenant, God says, is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. Now, you think about this for a second. This guy was 90 plus years old when God told him he was going to have children and children's children, and he would be the father of many nations. But him and his wife were barren. And this was going to be a miracle that God was going to do, unless you have children at age 90. Anybody have any kids at 90 years old? I didn't think so. This is going to be a miracle. He said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. How many of you guys want to be exceedingly fruitful? I don't even know what that means, but that sounds real good, doesn't it? And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Now, this is crazy, Pastor Lance, because kings didn't come for hundreds of years later. This is a prophetic word from God. Saul was the first king of Israel. But he said, kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after me. And to make himself even more clear, God said it again in Genesis chapter 22. He said, blessings in verse 17, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. And the descendants shall possess the gates of their enemy. See, this kind of thing is pretty cool because it didn't get fulfilled within his lifetime. Abraham had a son named Isaac, and this covenant that God made was passed like a baton to his son Isaac. And God said the same thing to him in Genesis 26. He said, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice. This is neat, because the father obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments. Abraham obeyed the statutes and the laws. And because of that, the blessing was going to flow down to the next generation, which is Isaac. Now, there's something that I wanted to pause, because I found this out this week. Abraham lived 175 years old. Now, that's either really, really good or really bad. Depends on how your health is. He lived 175 years old. At the age of 100, his son Isaac was born. Isaac grew up, married a woman named Rebecca. And at the age of 60, she gave birth to his son Jacob. So that means that Abraham was 160 years old when his grandson Jacob was being born. Now, think about this for a second. The greatest revelation and covenant of God has been given to an individual. And the promise is for his generations, that they're going to be a great nation and kings will come from him. So he didn't see that panned out in his generation. And it got passed down to Isaac. And now Isaac grows up. And now you've got grandfather and father looking at grandchild Jacob and said he's the hope of the next generation. But if you know anything about Jacob, Jacob was a hot mess. See, Jacob, his name meant trickster. His name meant that he was going to do some crazy stuff. And if you look at the early life of Jacob, he was a mess. He was a lot like me. He lied, he cheated, he stole, he did whatever he had to do to make it. Now, you can imagine, Abraham and Isaac, probably since Jacob was born, had been telling him about his destiny. Had been breathing life about his legacy, about what God's going to do. He started it with granddad. He passed it on to dad, and now we're looking at you. Imagine the pressure that he felt. Now, there's a little side story in here I wanted to share if you're a parent in here. Now, there's a situation that Jacob was involved in with his daddy when he stole the blessing of his brother. And there's this transference of hands being laid on when a father lays hands on a son, and it's called the blessing. And it's basically where the father speaks words of life and what God is able to do over the life of the son. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't have daddy around. You'll hear more about my dad in a minute. But I had a mama who loved Jesus like crazy. Somebody say amen to that. And when I got born again, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, me and my mom, we read these verses. And I ran to my mom. I said, "Mommy, you got to bless me." She said, "What are you talking about, boy?" I said, "They did it in the Bible. I want you to lay hands on me, and I want you to speak words of life and blessing over me." See, my brother hadn't given his life to Jesus yet, so he didn't receive the blessing. My older brother, I stole his blessing. And so my mom began to lay hands on me, and she believed that God was going to supernaturally bless her financially in her life. And she saw a little bit of it, a little taste of it. But she began to lay hands on me and pray that God would be my provider, that he would bless me, that I would have children, that they would serve God. And I received my mom's blessing. And I'm starting to see it play out in my life. Now, you can imagine this guy, Jacob. He got the blessing of his daddy, but he still didn't have his mind right. And so the weight of the legacy was heavy on this guy, Jacob. And it probably looked like, from all accounts, that he wasn't going to make very much of the legacy that God had given him. But you know what God said? He said, "It's not over." Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "It's not over." Look at your other neighbor and say, "It's not over." See, no matter where you've been, no matter what people have said about you, no matter what your legacy may have looked like in the past. See, if you're anything like me, you were a hot mess through high school. I went to college and was a hot mess. As a kid, I was a hot mess. My life was crazy. But God said it wasn't over. And no matter where you are, no matter what your state looks like, no matter what kind of a train wreck your life, your relationships, your kids may have been, God, as long as he is in control, is saying it's not over. Your legacy has not, the final chapter of your legacy hasn't been closed yet. It's still wide open, and as long as you place it in the hands of an almighty God, all things are possible to him who believes. Who believes that today? See, I believe that God is making a great generation right now, a legacy that's going to be passed on, that's going to be greater than the former generation. Does anybody believe what I'm saying right now? I believe that even though we saw a decline in the last generation of young people serving the God, I believe we can have a generation in the future where it's more that are serving God. I believe that there are more marriages that are going to stay together in the next generation than in the present generation. But it all happens when you receive that baton and you run your race. And then you pass it on to the next generation. I believe today, one of the things I prayed for this week is that God would give you a revelation of how valuable the race that you run is so that you can pass the baton on to the next generation. Somebody say amen. Now, you know, Jacob, he had a very hard time trying to live up to his legacy. You know, and he came from a legacy of greatness, but some of us don't come from a legacy like that, do we? I mean, you think about all the blessings of God, everything, the wind at his back, it all looked great, but for a lot of us, myself included, we don't come from a legacy of greatness, we come from a legacy of fools. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." I love the way the Message Bible says it. It says, "Wise living gets rewarded with honor, but stupid living gets the booby prize." You know, for me and my life, the legacy that I received from my dad, it wasn't what I would have asked for. My dad grew up just like I did in a small town, about 7,000 people in West Tennessee. He grew up, he went off to the Army, he went to Vietnam. He came back pretty messed up, suffered for decades of chronic depression and PTSD. And up until a few years ago, if you asked me what kind of legacy I would have received from my dad, it would have been a legacy of shattered romances, divorce, selfishness, drunkenness, isolation, depression, and paranoia from PTSD. And I was pretty angry and bitter at my dad. You know, nowadays, about 40% of homes grow up without a dad. And there's a lot of bitterness and rage and anger against a lot of dads. But when I gave my life to Jesus in 2003, God did something really unique. He started to touch my heart and soften it in the area of my dad. I was pretty bitter, Pastor Lance, pretty callous the way I felt about my dad. But when God got a hold of my heart, I called Jesus Lord and Savior, and I gave him everything that I have. He started putting his finger in areas that I didn't want him to. See, I was pretty comfortable in my bitterness towards my dad. I thought I deserved to be better after what he did. And God started to show me scripture that says, honor your mother and your father. And not just honor them. I said, but God, you see how my dad is. God told me, honor the position that I placed him in because I made him your dad. It's like, uh-oh. And then God showed me in Romans chapter 13 where it says, all authority on earth has been placed there by God. And anybody who rejects the authority by God rejects the will of God and brings judgment on themselves. And God started to soften my heart for my dad. And so in 2003, when I gave my life to Jesus, God began to change it. In 2008, when my wife and I had twins, God began to change the way I saw my dad again because now I was a dad. I wondered, how could a father leave when his kids are 3 years old? I didn't know all the years of depression and PTSD and what he experienced at NAMM actually made him go further and further away from the people that loved him the most. And then in 2014, just a few years ago, my dad suffered a massive stroke. It started off as a small stroke, and then there was a bleed in his brain and made it larger, and he's been paralyzed on one half of his body, and he can't talk. And so now my dad, he's basically left in a state where he can't do anything for himself. I was made power of attorney. Now, the one thing about my dad, I'll just be honest and open with you guys, he didn't pay a dime of child support when I was growing up. That was one of the things that made me really angry, especially as a dad today. I think, how could you do that? But when God started to talk to me about my dad, he started to whisper the language of legacy. Your dad's legacy doesn't have to end the way it is. God said, it's not over yet. My dad still has life. As far as I know, he loves Jesus right now. And as his power of attorney, I've got an opportunity to bless the next generation. He's got a lot of grandkids. I asked him one time, Pastor Lance, I said, why don't I have any sisters, Dad? He said, I don't know. You might. That's my daddy. I know the ones that he does have, and I know the grandkids that he has. And so now my opportunity is to instill a legacy of love to the next generation through my dad. So now when I give presents from Papa, they see him in a light that I could not possibly see him in. And God has given him the grace of allowing his legacy to be changed in the eyes of his kids and grandkids without him lifting a finger because of the mercy and grace of God. Isn't that amazing? Somebody say amen. That means it's not over. You know what my dad gave me? He gave me stewardship over the Dixon name. My last name is Dixon. And you've got a last name. Everybody in here got a last name? Unless your last name is X. Like, no Malcolm X in here. You've got a last name. And that means that you've been given stewardship over your family line. And you can run that race well or not so well. But you've also, if you're a child of God, you've been given a legacy as well. You're in the lineage of Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says that, you know, the reason why I talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Bible says in Galatians that I'm a child of Abraham by faith. Somebody say by faith. So that means that when I receive Jesus Christ in my Lord as my Lord and Savior, whatever my legacy has been, good, bad, and ugly, it fails in comparison to the legacy that God can give you when you accept his son, Jesus Christ. That means the past is over. The Bible actually says, old things have been passed away, but behold, all things have been made brand spanking new. So here's a question for you. You have been the recipient of something from the past. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, you've been given something from the past, and you've got an opportunity to do something with it. What you do with it is up to you. And here's the question. Who are you going to pass the baton to? How well have you ran your race? If you're like me, I didn't get my race right till a few years ago, and I still stumble every now and then. You heard the baton drop before I got up here? We still drop the baton, don't we? Some of us, we run like we got rubber legs, and we drop the baton. We try to do the right thing, but we make mistakes. See, the word legacy means something received from an ancestor, a predecessor, from the past, something that is passed on to the next generation. You know, there was a man named Alfred, and he was a very famous man and a very wealthy man. He was known as the Merchant of Death. I mean, you want that to be your name. Well, something happened in Alfred's life. There was a news article that ran, and he had a brother, and the news article said that Alfred had died, but they made a mistake because it was his brother who died. And the newspaper said across the front of the page, the Merchant of Death has died. Well, of course, Alfred got upset. He got angry about it, but he started doing some self-revelation and checking in his own heart. He took a long, hard look in the mirror. When's the last time you looked a long, hard look in the mirror? It's not a nice thing to do, is it? After about 2 seconds, you make sure you don't have any boogers in there. You kind of move on, don't you? But if you've ever looked a few moments in the mirror and realized what is before you, sometimes it will scare you. Alfred took a long, hard look in the mirror, and he realized that out of all of his training, out of all of his education, his legacy that he was going to pass on didn't amount to a hill of beans. It was definitely not what he wanted to pass on to the next generation. He had wealth, he had money, he had power, he had notoriety, but he had a legacy that he didn't want to be known by. And so he spent the remainder of his life changing the way his public image was, changing the way people saw him, the way people thought about him. He put his money, his wealth, and his time, and he became the guy that we know of as the Nobel Peace Prize guy. His name was Alfred Nobel. He spent the big chunk of the rest of his life dedicated towards changing the image. He was the Merchant of Death. Now he's the guy on the Nobel Peace Prize. And I say that story to you because I wonder about your life. What are you known by? Somebody's eyes went really, really high. What are you really known by? What do people say about you? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name. Everybody say, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. He can work as hard as a Hebrew slave, making bricks with no straw, making $1 billion. You could be the lottery winner, but if your name is not good, what difference does it make? If you live your life completely for yourself, what good are you to anybody else that you pass the baton on to? Now, some of you guys have children. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you don't have kids, but you were a child. A good name means a lot. You know, at 2016, we're looking at this as the year of legacy. Everybody say legacy. I feel like this message and messages around this in the series are going to reverberate throughout the year as a church. And when God does something, he doesn't do it individually. He does it with a group of people. See, we've been asked to run our race, whether you got a good legacy or a bad legacy, whether you're a believer or not. God has, through his grace and mercy, he has passed you a baton. Everybody raise their hand like they're holding a baton. God has passed you a baton. You have received it. You received it like that, and now you're in the middle of your race. You're in the middle of your race. I don't know what you're going to do with your baton, but however you run your race, you will pass it on to the next generation. There's no chance that you won't. Doesn't matter if you have kids or you don't have kids. You have impacted somebody. Friend, coworker, neighbor, family. You have impacted somebody. And the result of your life is going to be passed on. My prayer is that the legacy that I leave, when people see me gone, they will say, that man loved Jesus. And now his children love Jesus. And he left them a lot of money. And they're going to bless the kingdom of God for a long time. I want that to be my legacy. But you know, we build legacy in community. This might be contrary to what you think. A lot of people think if I just work really, really hard, I go up the ranks, I become a 4-star general, then my legacy will be cemented in stone. I'll have a building named after me. I'll have a tank named after me. And then everything will be great. But don't you know that you can still lose your family and win the war on the outside of your home? That's why you see in the Bible all these kings that had great, great kingdoms, but then their kids went crazy. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, but his kids were crazy. David was a man after God's own heart, but his kids went crazy. We have to win the war at home. And that also means the house of God as well. You know, there was a man that had a dream that there was a funeral of an athlete. And that athlete had a casket. And so the man walked up to that casket and he saw a baton laying square on the chest of that athlete. And he said, this is so much like the body of Christ. We don't pass the baton on to the next generation. I want to ask you now, are you really passing the baton on? Are you preparing your life? Are you living your life? See, the legacy that you leave is the life that you lead. Thank you. Say it again. Thank you. The legacy that you leave in this world is the life that you're currently living. You can't say 2 or 3 years, I'm going to get right with God. You can't say, well, in 6 months, a year, 10 years, I'm going to forgive that parent or that child, or I'm going to make my marriage better. We'll go to that conference one day and work on our marriage. We'll go to that marriage counselor one day and work on our marriage. No. The legacy that you leave right now is the life that you're currently leading. You know, the good news, though, and God said the same thing to Jacob. He said the same thing to my dad. He's saying the same thing to you right now. It's not over. No matter where you are, somebody say it out loud, it's not over. No matter what your life has looked like, no matter the mistakes, no matter the trash you got yourself involved in, it's not over. And God can take you wherever you are. When you start to put your eyes on Him and run the race that God has put in front of you, God can take your legacy that is tied up in with the legacy of God and pass it on to the next generation, and they can be more blessed, I believe, than they could without it. Now, I want to end with one scripture. Now, I'm talking about running a race, passing the baton. And for some in here, you didn't have, like I said, that great, great legacy. Every man in here, I don't know why, Pastor Lance, but that phrase, legacy, it does something. When you say, what kind of legacy are you going to leave for your kids? For a man, it makes him puff up a little bit. But for a lot of men, a lot of women, they don't know how to leave that next legacy. It starts by letting go of the past and holding on to something permanent. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. My advice is that you receive Him as King over every area of your life and make Him your Savior and your Lord. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. How many wish some old things would just pass away? Some old memories, some old dreams, some old decisions. Some things in our past we just don't get rid of, don't we? It seems like they just linger on. But in the eyes of God, He says, old things are gone. And behold, all things have become new. You can have a lasting legacy in Christ because He's passing it on to you. My question, let's close our eyes and just pray for a second. I want to ask you this question. What are you doing with the baton in your hand? See, we have legacy that is created is all about community. The community for the Nobel Peace Prize guy. He was afraid of the way his legacy would be left. Even now, you're in Clarksville, Tennessee. Most of you never dreamed that you would be in a place like this. Good, bad, and ugly. But you're here. God has brought you to a community of believers at Bethel Community Church. What are you going to do with the baton that's been passed to you? You know, Pastor Lance and I, we talked about this a while back, but there was generations behind us of people that prayed that there'd be a church on Tinytown Road that would be diverse, that would be filled with people that would come to know Jesus Christ. And that community of believers would pass on the baton of faith in Christ, pass on the gospel to the next generation, until one day Clarksville would have a great revival all over this great city, where the 130 plus thousand would know the name of Jesus. You were part of someone else's prayers. You were part of someone else's dreams when they were praying to God. For many of you guys, grandma, granddaddy, mama, daddy prayed for you. And you're here right now. And the baton is being passed to you. My advice, hold on to it and run the race that God has given you. You can't do it alone. Last verse I want to read to you. Hebrews chapter 12 says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Some of you might be in sin. There may be some things in your life that hinder you from following Christ. It says, let us run with perseverance. Now, this is not an individual race, but you are connected to a body of believers that's expected to run the race and pass the baton on to the next generation. It says, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. So you're in Bethel Community Church right now. So I want to talk to you as the church. Pastor Lance is not the church. I am not the church. These walls are not the church. You who are sitting in your seats represent Bethel Community Church. What are you going to do? My advice is be the community of Bethel Community Church. Can somebody say that out loud? Be the community. God placed you here for a reason. Not to go to church on a Sunday morning, slap somebody high five on the way to Cracker Barrel, but to be the church. Be involved in each other's lives. Bless each other. Love each other and show the world what God can do when he gets his hand on a people. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give Pastor Richard a big hand clap. Thank you, Pastor Richard.